Numbers 21:8. Are you there?
Yes.
Title of this message is, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Now, and the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it upon the pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And so, you know, the Israelites had been murmuring and complaining. So now they're reaping that harvest. They're reaping being bitten by snakes. And they repented, and God gave Moses these instructions. They were told to look at the bronze serpent attentively, expectantly, with a steady, and I want you to get this word, an absorbing gaze, and they would live. An absorbing gaze. Remember that as we trail into this. Amen. So an attentive, expectant, steady, and absorbing gaze. That's interesting right there, isn't it? So they fixed their gaze on the serpent, and sure enough, those that had been bitten, it didn't hurt them. If you were bitten in the last few years by, you know, one of those things, you're healed. You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now this is a picture of Jesus and how he became a curse for us on the cross. Y'all are all scriptorians. You know this. When Moses held up the serpent on the pole, it represented sickness, curse, sin, guilt, and shame. That's what that represented. Now, what you have to see is that was Jesus on the cross carrying everything that was put on him in order to redeem us. Are you with me? You walking with me? Okay. So keep walking with me here. So, as we look at the cross, there's like two things tonight. I'm going to keep this real simple tonight. There's like two things that I think if you'll just get these, I think your faith will just shoot up. So when we look at the cross, we see now this is something we say. We got this out of scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Do we say that? Okay, so we'll take that little trail for just a minute. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it is Christ that lives within me. Okay, you know that scripture. Okay, short version there. But why did the Apostle Paul say that? I am crucified with Christ. He said it because it really happened. He said it because when you got born again, when you were born again, your spirit lit up. It was no longer dead, right? But at the same time, your old man was done away with. Mm-hmm. Not your flesh, your old man. Mm-hmm. So the old you is done away with. So when you get born again, you step into eternity. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Yeah.
So you stepped into eternity. What's eternity? All the way forward and all the way back.
Right.
So when Jesus hung on the cross, you were there because you're what? In Christ. So when it says you were crucified with Christ, and he's using that for a little bit more. He's trying to say, this is where I'm standing today.
Yeah.
But you have been crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he paid for it all. He's your representative, but you could count yourself present that it got taken care of. That's pretty easy, isn't it? So when you're looking at Jesus then on the cross and you see that he paid for it all, having all that was on us is now not on us anymore. No curse.
Amen.
What did it say in Galatians 3:13? Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. So that the blessing's on me now. Okay. So just a couple of things I want to show you. The words to lift up, they're really very significant in the Greek, and it's the word hupsaon. And it's interesting that that Greek word is used twice with Jesus in two senses. He was lifted up on the cross, and he is lifted up into glory. Okay? Now, I'll just tell you the scriptures because we're not going to go through all of them. But we see that in John 8:28, 12:32, Acts 2:33, 5:31, and Philippians 2:9. John 8:28, 12:32, Acts 2:33, 5:31, and Philippians 2:9. So there's this double lifting of Jesus' life. He's lifted up on the cross and he's lifted up into glory. We all know that. Same Greek word. But the thing about it is they are indivisibly connected. You cannot separate these two events. He had to hang on the cross. He had to be lifted up on the cross to be lifted up into the glory. You can't take those apart. He had to die so he could resurrect. You can't separate these things. Now walk with me. I'm going somewhere important here now. These things can't be taken apart. You're going to see what I mean in just a minute. So believing what God did on the cross brings lifting power to our lives when you believe it. Let me say something to you. I've heard this a lot of times. Well, why do we even want to talk about Jesus being on the cross? He's resurrected. We don't need to see him on the cross. Church, we're not gazing at Jesus on the cross to grieve or to look at all the horrific things that happened to him in a gloomy way. We're looking at him in that way to receive what he did for us, to acknowledge, and I'm going to use the word here again, absorb.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Absorb what he's done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing that, Lord. So, the power in his redemptive work then is in the word, and it's released in our hearts, which is going to give us that life and that healing and that blessing. So when you meditate on redemption, you absorb the power in it. Now you got to get this. Don't leave this on the surface here. Meditating on the word, absorbing the actual word of God, turns into power. That's what most of the Christian world doesn't understand. Meditation, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and then you're going to have success. Why? Because your faith was empowered. Your faith was enriched. You were actually believing something. It got into you. John G. Lake does a really good job at explaining some of these things if you want to go check him out. Now, I said this to you the last three times we got together, and I want to make sure you get this. The event and the word written are the same. Okay? So when we talk about the resurrection, Satan hates it and shivers just as much as he did when it actually happened. He hates it just the same because the word is powerful. The word is carrying, it's the word of his power. It's carrying weight. Church, this is not just logos to us. The rhema word is like the same thing like you eating your broccoli. And it goes in and it transmutates into whatever they call all that stuff in there. Thank you. Limp stuff. Okay, she's got it because she grows those microgreens, you know. It's spreading in the church, by the way. Okay, so, but it turns into good stuff. Food, most of it, maybe not Twinkies, but a lot of stuff will turn into energy. This rhema word, this word, remember, church, the Holy Spirit wrote the word. It was spoken so it could be written, so it could be spoken, so it could be believed. Okay? So this coming off the page, Holy Spirit enriched, causes something to happen in your spirit. It ignites it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Jesus will save you when you look. Okay? So there's life when you look at the cross. So you can see the direct effect, your vision and focus have if you look at Peter walking on the water. So when he walks on the water, as long as he's looking at who? Jesus, he's walking on the water. But as soon as he looks at the wind and the waves, he starts sinking. But then as soon as he looked back at Jesus, Jesus just pulled him back up and he's walking on the water again. Well, golly, Peter. Well, let's see you do it. Every once in a while, I'll fill up the bathtub and try it to see if I'm there yet. But you see what I'm saying? He was looking at the Word. Jesus, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word himself. He's looking at the Word and he's walking on the Word. Come. Jesus said, come. So he's walking on that Word. And so he's gazing at, he's absorbing Jesus. And as long as he's doing that, he's empowered. Praise God. And then there's power to change. As you look. So, you know, what can be done when it seems like, when it seems as though you're never able to change the impossible to be free from maybe an old attitude or some kind of lifestyle or something? What can be done about that? Consider this question then. What are you looking at?
Oh boy.
What are you looking at? Because whatever you're looking at is where you're going. Amen. Whatever you're looking at. Well, it's just getting so bad. Well, what are you looking at? Are you looking at your checkbook? Or are you looking at the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he has no sorrow to it? Are you looking at your body and your symptoms? Or are you looking at the Word? See, if you'll gaze long enough and absorb the Word, healing will come. I'm getting ahead of myself now, but that's good, isn't it? So, the Word of God, here it is now. Let's look at it like this. What are we looking at? Well, the Word of God is spoken. It talks about it being a mirror, doesn't it? James, let me read James 1:23 to you. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man studying his natural face in a mirror. So when you're looking at the Word, you're studying yourself in the mirror. And the mirror is going to reveal what you look like. It's going to reveal some things, but it's going to reveal, now before you're going, yeah, show me all the bad stuff. No, it's going to reveal who you are, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the blessed, the this, the that. And when you turn, when you start getting the horse, you know, the cart before, you know, in place, the horse and cart in the right place, instead of if I'm good enough, then maybe the blessing will be on me. That's not what the Word says. The Word says that God has made you good and now you can do what's right, do it right because it's right. It's not about you earning anything. It's about you being able to produce the nature of the Father because he loves you. He's good. He's made you the righteousness of God. And so you flow from there. Anyway, that's a side note, but that helps us right here. So for he studied himself and went his way, and immediately he forgot what he was like. Now, that's interesting. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, so you keep the steady gaze. He is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one shall be blessed in his doing. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with our face having been unveiled, having beheld the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, are being changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord's Spirit. So looking at the Word will cause you to be the victor. Looking at the Word will cause you to be victorious. Looking into, gazing at the royal law of love, knowing that God is love, will cause you to love. Well, if I just love people right, then the Lord will bless me. That's not how it's taught. It is that you get to know how much God loves you, and then the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in your heart, has that love shed abroad in your heart, and you're able to love others. You got to know you're loved by Father first. Either, if you don't do that, you're going to be in religion. We better love everyone. We better love everyone. And on the inside, you're going, But all this goes away when you understand how much he loves you.
Yeah.
Amen. And so you keep looking into this mirror and things begin to change for you. So if you keep looking into this mirror and you keep seeing that you're healed, then you're going to get a manifestation of healing.
Yeah,
you can get it by laying on of hands. Yeah, you can get it by miracles. You can do it several ways. But you can, if there's nobody else around, if you can't find the elders of the church, if you're all by yourself, you've got him and you've got this. Glory to God. Receive your healing when you look, when you're gazing. Listen to this, Proverbs 4:20, you can all quote it. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What are they? The forces of life come out of your spirit. So you keep your spirit, and you keep your spirit by gazing and absorbing the word. Mm-hmm. That's what it's telling you right there. Meditating for us is not, better not be doing that. Empty your mind. No, don't empty your mind. Fill it full of the word. Right? So, but meditation for us is thinking about it, talking about it, making it personal. Now, what does this mean to me? Why? What does this do for me? What is this saying about me? What were those thorns about, that crown of thorns on his head? What was that? What's the blood all about? How does that relate to me? What's that for? And everything else in the Bible. But I'm trying to get you to see your redemption at this moment. Okay. So you receive your healing that way. So seeing and hearing the word of God is the door you open for the power that's on the word to come in you. You receive that? Okay. The power displaces the sickness. Because according to the truth, you are already healed. Yeah, you are. You're not the sick trying to get well. You are the healed, you're the well, and the enemy is trying to lie to you with lying symptoms. Mm-hmm. And whatever else he tries to do, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Jesus, thank you for healing me. But it's what you're really saying is, Jesus, thank you that you healed me 2,000 years ago when you hung on the cross and paid the price. Because 2 Peter says that when we quote it, by his stripes ye were healed. You are already healed. I don't have a problem of when I get to church or when I get to that meeting and I'm going to be healed. I don't have a problem with people saying that, because sometimes people are on a journey. It shall come to pass as on a journey. But once you step into your faith on it, you are healed. You can be hoping and saying that's good, but when you start getting into the action, sooner or later, I know it. I know it. I know it. Whether the symptoms are there or not, you know it. You know, you remember Dr. Cho? Mm-hmm. Dr. Cho. It's interesting because Dr. Cho was really a faith guy. And he, way back there, we read, and I remember that he said, he said this 1,000 times, by his stripes I am healed. He was sick, and he said, I don't remember what he had at the time, but he said, by his stripes I'm healed. But he said it 1,000 times, and on the 1,000th time he said it, the healing manifested. Like, oh, well, that's what I should do. Maybe, but maybe not. The point being is that he was gazing. And it took him that long to get his flesh and the symptoms under control. But he was absorbing by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes. You know, some people don't even know what we're talking about with the word stripes. It's King James, you know. By the beatings. By the whiplashes on his back. By the back being torn open. He took the punishment. The curse is listed in the Old Testament, that the curse was where all the sickness and disease was, right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus became the curse. He became that brazen serpent and took all of that, every bit of, when you think about him hanging on the cross, he was taking everything that you ever did and every sickness that was ever developed out of everybody's DNA all the years that came, all the diseases. They used to say, I think they're probably added to this now. They used to say you could categorize all of the diseases within 39 categories. And they whipped him 39 times. So, you're like, well, I don't want to talk about that, Pastor. Well, you need to gaze upon that sometimes and think about it. You need to think about the fact that they pulled his beard out. And that they spit on him and that they ridiculed him and that he was in a lot of pain carrying that cross. You need to think about that sometimes, because then you'll realize you're paid for by a price, by a price. And when you get there, then you're stepping into the next place of the resurrection of what you're looking for. You gaze upon that. You're gazing upon the word. Amen. So that's what it took for Pastor Cho to absorb the word into his spirit. You know, I find that when I'm in high faith, that there can be one word that can flip my switch. And then there's sometimes I'll have an attack and I'll have to work. Work the word, absorb the word before I see the manifestation. But guess what? The manifestation always comes. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, church, there is, you take the word like you take medicine. I mean, how many of y'all take vitamins? I know most of you probably don't take medicine. You're like, ooh, everybody takes vitamins. Glory to God. So, you have to take time to do that. I mean, you know, I take the big vitamin D, so I only have to do that once a week. But the vitamin C is every day. And then I take this other thing, some brain food, and then I take some beets, and then it takes me all day long, and before I go to bed, the magnesium and the potassium, and so everybody's laughing because you're like, yeah, it takes me all day long too. Yeah. Eat Deb's greens and you won't have to do that. No. No. No, but so if we do, my point is, if we're going to do that all day long, you could stop for just a minute and have you a quick scripture to meditate on. Okay, I'm going to eat this one right now. Look at that.
That's good.
And a good confession that has a couple of scriptures in it. How about this? I am the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over me. I overcome evil with good. Just that phrase can put you in a different, if you'll say it enough. I remember about 2 years ago, we had a lot of ruckuses that we had to take care of. Some of you probably remember some of them. And the scripture that the Lord had me standing on was, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. So whatever and I would just say that, I commit that to you, Lord. I commit that to you. I commit that to you. I'm committing them to you. I'm committing them to you. I'm not taking it. And boy, that thing just built and built and built in me, and it just washed all the junk out. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's verses that'll help you through that. Now, Here's a good verse. Because, church, the thing is that we can't be ADD here. We can't have spiritual attention deficit disorder. We can't do it. We have to focus. You have to focus on your redemption. You have to focus on it. You have to focus on the word, or you're not going to get there. So here's one to focus on. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That eternal realm is much higher than this temporal realm. That eternal realm has full capacity and power to change this realm. Totally. It's weightier, it's more powerful, way more powerful, way more. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So the spirit realm is just packed with what you need. And so we don't have to look at this temporary ailment or situation. We look at the eternal things. And those eternal, we absorb those eternal things, the Word of God, fellowshipping with the Father, communing with the Holy Spirit, talking to Jesus. We fellowship there. All of these things are doing a work in our spirit. Hebrews 12:1, which you know what? Let's go over there. We should go over there. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father on the throne. So he was lifted up, then he's lifted up. But what we see here is we have to realize that we're not alone. We're not alone. There is absolutely a mighty host of heaven cheering you on right now.
Amen.
That's the first thing you need to think about. I am not alone. Heaven's on my side. Heaven is on my side. The angelic forces are on my side. Well, I just feel like everybody hates me. Well, heaven doesn't. Jesus doesn't. And we don't. That's pretty good. Somebody loves me. His name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, the next thing would be, is to remove the weight and sin keeping you from your eyes being fixed on Jesus. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief, and is also its finisher. So we believe the Word of God, we see ourselves crucified with Christ, and then what we're seeing is our identification with Christ. We identify with Him. Identify with the Anointed One. Which brings up another subject when we call Him the Anointed One. Doesn't it? What does the anointing do?
Removes
burdens and destroys yokes. You identify with that. You identify with Him. So you identify with the redemption, everything He did on the cross. You identify with the fact that He raised from the dead. You identify with the fact that He's gone to glory, and you will too.
Yes.
And you identify with the fact that the anointing right here on the earth, right now, can remove burdens and destroy yokes. Right now. And by the way, the destroy yokes thing, that's not that it, you take a hammer and break it into a couple of pieces. It disintegrates it. That's what the anointing does. It gets rid of the whole thing. Praise the Lord. Identifying with Christ is the greatest revelation in the Bible. It is. In Him, in whom, in Christ. You should circle that in the New Testament. In Him, in whom, in Christ. Mm-hmm. Brother Hagin taught us that. Meditate on that. Gaze upon that. I'm in Him. Yes. read all the things for it, what you have in Him. In Him, in Christ, I'm this. In Christ, I'm that. In Christ, in Christ. That's who you are. That's your identification. And when you gaze upon that, your faith begins to rise up and you're able to see the manifestation of the things you're looking for. So, just let your faith take hold of this, church. If you were crucified with Christ, then you were raised with Him and you were lifted up with Him. And from that perspective now, your eyes can behold His majesty and His glory.
Yeah.
From that perspective.
Wow.
As you reach your destination and you see Him face to face, but you're seeing from another level. You put the word in you and it'll lift you up to a higher place. You can see it. You know that you've done this before when you went, okay, I believe the Lord's saying this, whatever it is. And so you kind of start walking it out a little bit and you're thinking about it and you're praying about it. And this is what I do. Okay, Lord, I need my next step. I need my next word. And I'm thinking about it and I'm praying about it and I'll like get that word or something. And you start moving forward on that. And you start noticing that when you start meditating on the word and you start looking into the reality that He's going to do what He's going to do, all of a sudden you'll go, we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Haven't you done that? All of a sudden like, oh yeah. Or, oh yeah, I'm healed. That's your faith arrived at that level. You're like, okay, we got that. And it doesn't mean that your head's not going to go, I don't know, sometimes. You can believe in your heart and doubt in your mind. But your faith will drag that mind right back to the right place. You go, no, I sense this is right. We can do this. It'll be right. It's the right thing to do. And when we're talking about vision and stuff like that, it's usually that you're going to take on more than you were doing. Or move to a new place or start having relationships with different people or whatever it might be. All of a sudden you realize this is right. Okay, let's just go down to this. Yeah, that's my car. It's that simple too. Yeah, that's the car I should be driving. Not, I don't know. Just keep looking to Him. Just keep looking at Him. You keep looking at Him, you'll end up where you want to end up. You can't look at all of the toil and circumstance. You have to look at Him, look at Him, look at Him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that with your kid? Look at me, look at me. Okay, now come on.
Yeah.
Push the bike, come on. You know, or whatever it is. Just look at me. When Deb's son was little, we had a pool out in both of our backyards, remember? The junior size Olympic pool out there where we lived. He was like, I don't want to get in the water. And I'd go, look at me, jump. And finally I got him to jumping and he started doing it. He started swimming, but he had to look at me. Look at Jesus.
Yes, ma'am.
He'll lead you out into the water. He'll lead you out ankle deep. He'll lead you out knee deep. He'll lead you out waist deep. People need to do that when it comes to the truth of the gospel. Well, I don't know about some of the stuff some of these people do in church. Let the Lord lead you. Somebody online is watching this right now. You need to let the Lord lead you. You don't need to pick things apart. Well, I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know. I'm going to have to interview before I could go to that church. Well, just wait a minute. Won't you look at Him? Won't you look at Him and see what He's saying?
Yeah.
What's He saying about it?
Yeah.
Listen to what He's saying. Mm-hmm. And same way with jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about this. Well, know about it.
Yeah. Right.
Find out the will of God before you start using your faith. I tell y'all that all the time, but it's still the truth. Mm-hmm. Find out the will of God. And once you find out the will of God, you don't have to go around everyone asking them. You know, well, what do you think? I think it was God. Well, if you thought it was God and you don't know it was God, I'd back up right there. Back up right there. Find out what it is. Y'all receive this tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The main thing that I want you to get, these two things. The word is as powerful as the event. And if you'll gaze, if you'll absorb the word by looking at it, meditating on it, talking about it. I need to go back there for a second. Muttering, musing. It's like a cow chewing cud. You think about it and then later on you bring it back up. They bring their food back up again and they work on it some more. That's how you meditate. The word says da da da. The word says this. The word says that. And you keep that in your thinking and pretty soon you'll go, I'm free. I'm free. If you'll just do that. It will not fail you. The word won't fail you. Just don't quit. But I would say to you, don't just look from a distance. You can't be in a relationship with God from a distance. You can't be in relationship with the word from a distance. You'll have to look at that word and say something. Did y'all ride together tonight? Did y'all say anything in the car to each other? See? You gotta say something. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what relationship is. Have a relationship with the word.
Yeah, okay.
Gaze. Absorb. Absorb it. How much junk have we absorbed?
Come on.
Time to detox. Yeah. Lay stuff aside and, you know, absorb the truth. Church, no matter what happens in this world, if you've got this and you've got God, you can succeed. I don't care what's going on. So I've been here for 20 and a half years, and this is what I've always said. If every person left, I would still have this. Because this is my job. This is my assignment. But if every person left, I would have this. And I would still have the same calling.
Yeah, it's true.
It would be y'all's fault. And no. I'm totally kidding. I'm just trying to make a point here. You always have Jesus. He's already paid. He's on your side. He's not mad at you. He's trying to woo you closer. When's the last time you asked him, what are you thinking about, Jesus? Have you asked him that? Because I want to know what he's thinking about. Well, Pastor, you can't talk to him like that. Well, do you talk to your friends like that? What are you thinking about when they're sitting over there eating and not saying a word to you? Well, what are you thinking about? Sure you do. Well, Jesus, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Father, what would you say today? Let me tell you what I want to say to you. I just came here to worship you and I love you and I praise you and I just exalt your name and I just want you to know how much I love you and you know, just however you carry on with the Lord. Just do that and then do that with the word. Well, this word, man, my Bible opens up to Mark 4. I wonder why. You know, the sower sows the word. Sow the word. Sow the word. You're good ground.
Yeah.
You can't come to this church and not become good ground.
That's right. That's right.
Because we're plowing all the time. Amen. You receive this? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the word. Because it's not just a way to communicate. It is the way to create. And we thank you that we absorb the fact that you have taken care of all sickness, curse, sin, guilt, and shame. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are free. We identify with you. We have your DNA in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. If there be anyone within the sound of my voice that needs healing in their body, we speak healing over them right now. You are healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We command your body to answer the Creator. right now in Jesus' name. We command your body to absorb the word that has been spoken. By his stripes, you were healed. In Jesus' name, amen.